Good morning, everyone. It is just after 4:30 a.m. on Friday, the 12th of September, 2014, and you can hear the creaking of my cuddler, which is like a swivel settee, if you like. And that means I'm downstairs. Pinky's woken up now. She's heard my voice and she's about to start to squawk at the door, but I won't have the cats out in the night, so she will have to cry, I'm afraid. I'm having one of my sleepless nights. It's not one of the really awful ones where I'm just dropping off to sleep, or I sleep for 5 minutes and then I get a feeling in my legs or deep inside me that I have to move or sit up. It's not that. I've just been awake. I've been quite relaxed. I've listened to all the audio boos that I haven't listened to and that I want to listen to, and I've run out now. So if anyone's awake, please do one. And I was just laying in bed, relaxing, just being relaxed. So I was actually getting rest. But I can't sleep because something is playing on my mind. I've got the radio on and the news is repeated every half an hour. I listen to Radio Kent in the daytime on my upstairs radio. And at night at 1 a.m. it goes over, well, at 10 p.m. it goes on to a lot of southern stations. But at 1 a.m. it goes over till 6 a.m. to Radio 5 Live. Look, I've got out of bed. I expect he's going to go and get his bone. Are you? Anyway, I know some awful things go on in the world. My husband's from Nigeria, and where many atrocities take place, as they do in lots of other places. And then there's the war zones like Ukraine and Gaza, Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq, and countless others. And in war, there are casualties, and it's terrible. But something on the radio tonight is playing on my mind, and I can't sleep because I'm totally sickened by it. Apparently, a 14-year-old boy in Manchester is being questioned on a possible charge of arson at Manchester Dogs Home, where 50 dogs have died in a fire. I'm so angry about this and so sickened. Okay, people may say, well, they're only dogs. And yes, they are only dogs. But it's a loss of life, a totally wasted loss of life of dogs that are in a home because of the incompetence, stupidity, irresponsibility and heaven knows what else of humans. They shouldn't have been there in the first place. Because of humans, they were there. And because of a human, they're now dead and they didn't even get a second chance. And I'm so upset about it. And apparently already £80,000 has been raised, and the dogs, the 150 remaining dogs that are okay have all been shipped out to other places on a temporary basis. And in a church nearby, the donations of bags of complete food, biscuits other food, is almost up to the ceiling apparently. That's a lot of kind acts from a lot of people, but unfortunately it doesn't blot out that one evil act. Man's best friend. Huh. Well, we're not a best friend to them, are we? All the volunteers, what a terrible thing. They've all given up their time, their effort to look after these dogs and to help find them homes. And it must be so sickening for them. And sickening for the firefighters who have ever had to go in and get them all out. We had a fire last year, which was an accident. And one of my cats died. And people might say, oh, well, it's only a cat. Yes, she was a cat, but she was part of my family. And I'm thankful that there was no human loss of life. But even so, it was still very distressing for everybody. I can't imagine what it must be like. And it sickens me because I think what dogs do for us. Okay, they maybe have been pet dogs, but even pet dogs are not to be sniffed at or downgraded, because lots of pet dogs have such a beneficial effect through their loyalty and companionship on the human race. They can help to bring down high blood pressure. They can get a person to release all kind of endorphins that are good for you. They can get people out who've had agoraphobia or mental health problems and they're a reason for going out every day and meeting people, that's pet dogs. Just pet dogs. They can be a companion to a disabled person, like or a disabled child. Then there are the assistance dogs for the deaf, the blind, the disabled, the working dogs like the sheep dogs, police dogs, dogs that keep us safe at airports, that sniff out explosives, dogs that sniff out landmines in war zones. The list is endless, and that's how we repay dogs. Okay, it was only an isolated incident, but it sickened me to the very core. I must admit, it really has. To think of their poor bodies come being taken out one by one. And animals, and they're trapped. They were trapped. That's the awful thing. They had no chance of getting away. No chance. And animals are inherently, or innately, whatever the word is, afraid of fire. They must have been absolutely terrified. It's really distressed me. I mean, I've had guide dogs for most of my life, since I was 18, and I wouldn't have done half the things without a guide dog. I wouldn't have been able to work in London, commute up and down, go all over the place, all over the country. I wouldn't have had the confidence with my cane. I don't think I would have done it. I lived in London, worked in London. Then I had my kids, and without the dogs, it would have been very difficult going around with two young children and a cane. I had them in a buggy, and which I towed, and it would have been extremely difficult to do that without the aid of a dog whose judgment is so much better than mine with a cane. Then when the kids started to walk and they were toddlers, with any child, when you're out and about, little children talk non-stop. They ask questions and they talk about what they can see. And the best thing you can do for them in their development is to give them the attention and engage with them and talk about what they see and where we're going and why, and be on a level with them. And with a cane, I would have been so busy concentrating on what I was doing, where I was going and keeping us both safe, that I think 9/10 of my attention would have been on getting us around safely and 1/10 on my child. Well, obviously I would have been holding their hand but on their talking to them. With the dog, I'd say it was completely the other way around. 9/10 on the child and 1/10 on concentrating on the dog, because the dog takes all the onus off you in that way. So it meant that I had time, a proper quality time for my child when we were going from A to B. And yes, I do stick to the rules with the dog. And yes, I do praise the dog. And I still did all those things. But in between whiles, I could just walk freely down the road and not have to worry whether that I was going to hit into something or not see something and end up down a hole or tripping down a step or something or falling in a flower bed. Then I've got a small dog, my pet dog. He's 12 years old on the 1st of November, and I've had him since he was 6 months old. He was a rescue dog. I didn't pay for him, but he's a pedigree poodle. And he's been my constant companion and soulmate for the last 11 and a half years. In most of my audio booths that I do at home, if you listen carefully, you'll hear his little paws going trot, trot, trot behind me wherever I go. He's my constant companion, my constant shadow. He worries when he can't see me. He worries when he doesn't know where I am. He's been with me through thick and thin, through a separation, a divorce, several difficult relationships, having to moving house 4 times in the past 5 years, being evicted from one place through no fault of her own, having a fire, a kidney failure, and ending up on dialysis. And they're just some of the highlights of the last few years. And through all that, he's been my friend and constant companion. And then I see these poor dogs. They weren't given a chance in life. They were just sent to the scrap heap. Well, it's not a scrap heap, but you know what I mean, a metaphorical scrap heap. And then they thought, you know, they didn't think, but there was hope that they would get a new home and a second chance. And now they're all dead. And where was this child's parents? Can we blame the parents? I think it happened quite late at night because it certainly didn't come on the news till quite late, and I've had the radio on all evening. So why wasn't he at home doing his homework? He's 14, he's still at school. Or why wasn't he in bed? Where are his parents? How did he get hold of the materials to do such a thing? And why? Why such a mindless act of lunacy? I just can't get my head round it. And I'm not being smug because my kids have grown up okay. I know kids have some kids have difficult backgrounds and not the upbringing that's ideal. But even so, at 14, you know the difference between right and wrong. And why go and kill innocent creatures? He must have known what he was doing when he did that, if he did it. He's being questioned, obviously. He might be innocent, but if he's the one that did it, he must have known what he was doing. And if he didn't, if he's got such bad mental health issues that he didn't know what he was doing, then why was he wandering around at large in the first place? Anyway, now I've completely wound myself up. I think I'll go and make a cup of tea. I hope he's got to be up at 6. So he set his alarm at 6 for 6 and I set mine for 5 past. Because he's got to be up for work. You see, here comes Lammy. How long have I been down here? About 10 minutes or so? He's totally deaf. He's pretty much totally deaf. But he still knew when he was fast asleep in the middle of the night that I'm not here. So he's come down. I'm here. If he's awake, he'd be straight down because he watches people's feet from under the bed. That's how he knows when we move. If we stand up from the bed, he normally feels like the thud of somebody's feet on the floor, because this is what Obi's told me. And then he looks from under the bed and watches to see if it's his feet or mine that leave the room. But when he's asleep, it sometimes takes him a few minutes to realise. But in the night, like now, he was in a deep sleep because I could hear him breathing under the bed, but it's not taken him long to come down and find me. He's very faithful. Most dogs are. And it just saddens me to think that it saddens me for the dogs, and it saddens me for the child or young person. What was going through his head? And I'm very angry. Well, if he did it, I don't want to land myself in any trouble here. If he's the guilty one, or whoever did it, what went through their head? Why? You know, if you want to set something on fire, go and make a bonfire in your garden. And if you haven't got a garden, well, talk to somebody about it. If you feel the need to set fire to something, you've obviously got a really serious problem. Anyway, that's enough for now. He's jumped up beside me now. Hello. And you. Don't start barking and all that stuff. It's too early for that. And you'll get me shot down in flames, the pair of you, if we wake anybody up. Because, of course, all the other sensible people in the house are asleep. There's just this one mad woman who's not. But I was laying there thinking about it, and the more I thought about it, the more wound up I got. They're supposed to be our best friend. So why do something like that to them? Why are we so cruel to them anyway? Not just dogs, but lots of animals. Why is there a need for all these homes? It's down to totally irresponsible owners who get animals, who don't know what's involved, who get fed up with them. Some things are genuine if they're made redundant, or they take some reason they have to move and they can't have the animals where they're living now. But the majority of animals in rescue centres is through the irresponsibility of owners who don't get their cat or dog spayed or neutered. And then they have puppies and kittens, and then the cycle goes on. They give them away to people who don't really want them, who can't really care for them. The ones who end up in the homes, apart from these poor unfortunate animals, are usually the lucky ones because they do get another chance. Some just get dumped. My mum knows a lady in Cyprus who does a lot for the cats in these sort of places. There's lots of cats, like street cats. And she, there's a certain place where there's a lot of these feral cats, and she's had them all neutered. And the kittens, she gets the kittens and finds homes for them when they're young. So when they're young, not too old to be tamed. And apparently, she recently, some people in England adopted 5 of them. So they had to get all their passports and everything. And she had to take them to the airport this day. So she fed all her cats a double amount the day before because she knew she wouldn't have time to go and feed them. Not, they're not her cats, but the ones she looks after. And everyone knows she does it. She's quite famous there, I think. And she put them a double lot of food down the day before because she knew she probably wouldn't have time because it was going to be very late when she got back from the airport. So when she went there the following day, somebody had dumped 2 boxes of kittens sealed up in boxes, thinking that she was going to go there, and that was the one day she didn't go. And it's very hot. Cyprus, this time of year, well, not maybe so much in September, I'm not sure, but August, this was a couple of weeks ago, August, the temperature is searing hot. And they'd all died. When she opened the boxes, they were all dead. What a pointless exercise. They might as well have just let them out, just dumped them outside the door and let them fend for themselves. They might have had a chance then. Someone might have picked them up. Anyway, I'm really sickened at the human race. I mean, when you see the atrocities they commit to each other, I suppose it's no wonder that they do it to animals. We're a despicable species, really. Please, someone come and tell me that the human race isn't despicable. Give me some hope that it's actually quite decent, because I can't see it right at this moment. I mean, there are lots of decent people, don't get me wrong. I know that. 99%, well, no, I wouldn't go that far, but most people are decent. But as a race, oops, stop rumbling stomach. As a race, we haven't got a very good track record, have we? All the things we do, the greed, the wars, and all the wars and stuff in the name of religion. We've ruined the planet with our fumes and anyway, I'm just going to go and make some more carbon footprint with my electric kettle, I suppose. So, anyway, folks, I'm sure I'll be back later. Well, there are my thoughts. Shut up, phone. See you all later.